Hallelujah Chorus tonight. And so if you haven't been drafted into that, want to get in on it, I'm going to try that. It'll be a real blessing for a lot of people. By way of announcement, a visitation tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We've got some cards to go and people to visit. And I'm trying to get caught up on visiting after being gone last week, or will be. And I want you to be here tomorrow morning at 10. And if the Lord really touches your life, it'll make you want to get out and tell somebody. Amen. If you get a fake dose, you know, it's done more off by now. But you know what I found myself doing Monday morning after Sunday night? I try to witness all the time. Monday morning when I went out, I felt a special hour to witness. Did anybody else feel that? Just like it just oozing out of you. Matter of fact, I've done a little Christmas shopping. And I can't tell you where I was at because my wife's here and I don't want her to know. And I went by myself, and I was in this place. It's like a store. And I got to thinking about what the Lord done for me. And I thought, boy, here I am saved, going to heaven. And I thought, boy, I might just preach right here. And I thought about that right in the store. And that was after Sunday night. And the Lord just, you know, gave us a good dose. So I'll tell you how to keep that in your life. Like a sponge. Get out here tomorrow night and squeeze it out on somebody else. And then the Lord will fill you back up again. Amen? But if you just let an old sponge just lay there and soak, it'll rot and sour and start stinking. But when you fill it up with good water, squeeze it out, and then the Lord can fill you back up. So don't forget that. And then pray, let's see, Saturday morning, our bus meeting at 8:30. Saturday night, I'm supposed to preach. I'm going to preach at a singing Saturday night. Have you ever heard tell of such a thing? Preacher called me. I'm over in Black Mountain. And said they have our monthly singing this Saturday night. And something happened, the singers couldn't come and want to know if I'd come and preach. And so, I don't know. If anybody wants to go with me, you know, welcome to go. I know they're having a get-together for the teenagers this coming Saturday night, because the ones who come every Sunday of Operation Somebody Cares. And a lot of things like that. I'll be preaching. It was at Blue Ridge Baptist Church over there in Black Mountain. And then, of course, don't forget Sunday school, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Bring somebody with you. Okay, Brother Donnie, if you'll help me get some lights a little dimmer in here where everybody can see, we're going to start. This is the season to be jolly, and we're going to do a little study here tonight on Christmas. And, yes, sir?
Did you mention about the
carol? No, I didn't. Dim just a little bit, so... Not so much people. Whoa, right there. Can you see the right?
Yeah.
Okay. See how good a writer you are. Well, who's going caroling? The little kids, 6 o'clock Saturday evening, okay? 10 and under, Christmas caroling, Saturday evening at 6 o'clock. Yes, sir, brother? Okay. Now, everybody's been wanting to know when we're all going caroling, and we'll probably do that about a week later, next week sometime, maybe about a Tuesday night of the following week, something like that, like we usually do. And if anybody's got any toys or something you'd like to give away that night, bring them, plan on bringing them. And, you know, not just junk, but, you know, if it's something somebody will play with, maybe a baby doll or a wagon or something, we'll sort through them. If there's anything we don't want, we'll take them out and give them away. No, we'll take it all out and give it to kids that need something. All right, all the kids Saturday are supposed to bring $2 because they're going to Burger King. This study tonight, I'll be brief, and don't laugh at my artwork. I was in a hurry when I done that today, or just a while ago. But me and I was planning on teaching on this, and me and Brother Barry over there was talking about this Sunday morning, wasn't it? Stand up over there, Barry, so everybody remember who you are. Okay. Me and that brother right there, Brother Barry Sales, he's from over across the mountain in Swananoa or somewhere. They live over there. Me and him was talking about it, and I got thinking about it. I had these notes from a long time ago. I got to thinking, I thought, maybe it'd be good for us to kind of go over this thing of Christmas, and it might help some of you to have some questions in your mind. To where'd it come from? Where'd the name come from? What does it mean? what's all the, you've heard of the pagan ties with Christmas. You've probably even heard preachers preach that it was just a complete pagan holiday and that type of thing. And I want to maybe clear up some of those questions in your mind and show you why we celebrate what we do and how we do, and try to give you what the Bible would have to say about it. You got to be careful not to make the Bible say stuff it don't say. A lot of people do that. They make up things that the Bible don't say and make a religion out of it. And you know, you can learn that the hard way or the easy way, but the best way to do is if that book backs you up, stand on it. If it don't, you know, you can take it or leave it. But I tell you, I'm glad the Lord was born. I don't believe personally he's born December 25th, but that's my personal opinion. Nobody knows for sure but himself, I reckon. But you ever thought about this? I thought I'd read you this little poem here called What a Night. That night when in the Judean skies the mystic star dispensed its light, here's what happened. A blind man moved in his sleep and dreamed that he had sight. That night when the shepherds heard the song of the angelic choir near, a deaf man stirred in a slumber spell and dreamed that he could hear. Amen. That night when over the newborn babe the tender Mary rose to lean, a loathsome leper smiled in sleep and dreamed that he was clean. That night, boy, that'll preach, you know. That night when in the manger lay the sanctified who came to save, a man moved in the sleep of death and dreamed there was no grave. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you what, brother, I ain't going to let the Jehovah Witnesses cheat me out of thanking God my Lord was born one night. I'm glad that angel used a cloud for his pulpit, got his message right off the throne of God, had a little congregation. He'd never been to seminary, had a congregation of shepherds down on a Judean hillside, and said unto you this day, in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, as I was speaking with Brother Barry, and I've talked about this a lot of times, I've taught on this before. I'm just going to give you some things that I've mentioned before. Just like any other thing, there's things like this. There's the straight and narrow way. And then there's ditches. Now, the Lord wants us to stay on the straight and narrow way. He wants you to learn this thing of what you call balance in the Christian life. And the way we treat holidays is by this word right here. And you got to remember this. You don't go off the deep end. There are some people, now look here, watch carefully. There are some people who just go off the deep end on the commercial end of Christmas. And all, like Brother John mentioned a while ago, what are these Christians trying to do, making Christmas a Christian holiday, you know? All they think about is big times and parties and liquor and dances, and that ain't got a thing in the world to do with Jesus Christ. They're off in the ditch. They're on the deep end. I tell you something that I can't stand to see is that's at Xmas. Boy, I understand what they're saying there, but man, at gripes me when they just puts X. It's just, they say, well, we'll do it because we didn't have enough room to write Christmas. But I believe there's something inside them just wanting to cross out Christ. And they're off the deep end. All they think about is the commercial end of Christmas. Then, on the other hand, you have mostly what you'd say religious groups that are off on the other end. Since there are pagan beliefs connected with the Christmas holiday, they just reject the whole thing altogether and say it's wrong for you to even recognize as a holiday. It's wrong for you. Of course, I guarantee you they probably take them days off that their boss man gives them. But they say you're not supposed to recognize this as a holiday at all. They even get to the point where they say you shouldn't even buy anybody a gift. And by doing that, they're also off in the ditch by bringing the Christian into bondage, telling him he can't buy somebody a gift when he wants to. There's no day, any other day, any different from a Christian. For a Christian, you can buy somebody a gift anytime you want to. Amen? It's ridiculous for a man to say, well, I can't buy you a gift because Christmas is a pagan holiday. You know, what's that got to do with anything? If you want to buy somebody a gift, buy them one. If you don't, don't. That's the way it is. See, you've got to learn what you call balance. I know the Jehovah Witnesses are bad for this. They teach that it's wrong for you to even recognize Christmas at all, and I'll tell you why in a minute. And they've got a point, but they go off the deep end with it. They say that, well, I'll give you an example. I know a lady right now in this town whose daughter is a Jehovah Witness. That lady, that daughter has a little girl, which means that's her granddaughter, the only grandchild they have. And that daughter will not allow grandmother and granddaddy to buy that child a present and wrap it up. And you know, when they come over here, they are with their tree or whatever, and presents laying around and everything. And then here's this daughter saying, "No, you participate in this," and all that. And can you grandmas and grandpas in here imagine what it would feel like not to be able to get your grandyoungin something for Christmas? That really causes some problems in the family. Boy, I tell you, grandmas and grandpas, they take that thing serious. And that they want to buy them younguns something for Christmas. And so I thought I'd just take just a few minutes tonight, give you a chance to ask questions. We're not going to be long. If we don't get to all of that, we'll do the rest of it next week and tell you where it come from, how it got started, and that type of thing. I'm going to read you some letters to Santa Claus. One or two of them is in the McDowell News. I just copied them out of the McDowell News a couple of years ago. I'll just read you a couple of them right quick. "Dear Santa Claus, I love you, Santa Claus. You are good to me every... You give me toys every Christmas, too." That was the end of that one. "Dear Santa Claus, I like Santa Claus. I love you, Santa Claus. I want a radio and a bike." "Dear Santa Claus, I want a Barbie dream house and a car." Man, I don't know how old this person was. They want a Barbie dream house and a car. "I've been as good as I could, but sometimes I've been sort of bad." Got under conviction there a little bit. "Dear Santa Claus, I want to know who brings you presents. I'll give you cookies and milk. Will you give me a Barbie house?" Y'all catching something in these letters, ain't you? Notice how they brag on Santa Claus and everything, then hit him up with something. "Dear Santa Claus, I love you, Santa. I have been pretty good. Me and my sister like Christmas. Dear Santa Claus, I have been a good boy. Please bring me lots of surprises. I hope you and Rudolph don't catch a cold." "Dear Santa Claus, I want a pocketbook and a TV and a real stove and a refrigerator and a computer. I want a baby skates. That's all." Have not because you ask not, amen. "But if I really believed in Santa Claus, son, I'd give him a list and take him from now till next Christmas to fill it." "Dear Santa Claus, it is cold." Oh, "is it cold at the North Pole? Do you like to live there? On Christmas, you will come and put presents under my tree. You can come down our chimney, but we will have to take out our wood heater first." "Please bring me a bicycle and a He-Man set. I love you." Smart kid, you know. You know there's a bunch of little kids sitting around looking at all these wood heaters wondering how in the world Santa Claus is going to get through. "Dear Santa Claus, was I good?" "Santa, I want a Castle Grayskull for Christmas. You better not come down our chimney because it is cracked." And we'll talk about him later. And, you know, get on his case a bit. But let's see where Christmas come from. Commercialism. Now, you know and I know that Christmas, the reason businesses and the beer and liquor industries and all places make a big deal out of Christmas I'm sure you know it's not to honor Jesus on his birthday. They use him for what? Money. Money. That's the whole thing. It's a racket. Christmas nowadays is a racket. One liquor company spends $1 million just on their box, their special Christmas boxes for their liquor. $1 million. Did you know that a lot of department stores, such as, maybe like JCPenney or something, I don't know that, Walmart or Kmart or something. A lot of those businesses depend on the month of December to either make it or break it for the year. A lot of them do over 50% of their business in the Christmas season. Can you imagine that? In between November, last part of November, and the month of December, they make more money than they do, a lot of them, the whole year round. It's a racket. And has become a racket. Even Christians get caught up in this thing and getting fusses and gripe because he don't give you enough money to go out and buy the gifts, and you're fussing. It's called arguments in your home, and you're out, and then you come in and you can't even remember whose gift is whose. Boy, you really got your heart in that thing, you know. You're trying to, I don't remember who I bought this, boy, put his name on, you know, and if you're not careful, Christians will get caught up in the Christmas commercialism and get carried away and just be backslid as a devil before this thing's over. I mean, boy, you'll work and scrape. Have you ever let your house payment go? You ever done that, you fellas? Anybody besides me? Let your house payment go by Christmas, and it's February, March before you get caught up. And you let the next 3 weeks behind, next 2 weeks behind, you know, until you get caught back up. And little by little, well, these things ought not to be. You know, I don't believe God intends for us to go out and just get in a mad rat race. They showed them, what was them dolls women was fighting over? Cabbage Patch doll. A couple of years ago, showed on the news, I was somewhere preaching or something, and they opened the stores up north, son, and they had some Cabbage Patch dolls, and you wouldn't believe it. It was like a rock concert. They was fighting over each other, knocking, and just had a few Cabbage Patch dolls. Somehow or another, I have a hard time believing that's what the Lord really intended. You know, I don't believe that's the way he wants it to be. Like I say, here again, there's such a thing as bouts going dead, you know. But it's a exciting time of year. And I'll be honest with you tonight, I've enjoyed Christmas more since I've been saved than I ever did before I got saved. Well, I remember before I got saved, I liked it, but all I thought about was what was I going to get. And the first year I got saved, somebody gave me a book called 666 by Salem Kerbin, and I was reading my Bible, and I'd read that Luke chapter 2, brother, and it'd burn in my soul. And I laid around and read that book on the rapture and the tribulation, and boy, I remember we had a Christmas play down there at Nebo Baptist Church. We'd go down there, and we'd go into Christmas play practice, and it was just, there was such a thrill. I thought, glory to God, I really know what Christmas is about now. I know that Jesus come to this earth, and that's where the gift, God gave a gift. And boy, it's eternal life and all that. I had a ball. I was just bubbling over my first Christmas as a Christian. And I'm sure that many of you could step and testify to the fact that it's got a whole new meaning now that you're living for the Lord and everything. It's just completely different. You pick out all the spiritual things about it and just feast on that and enjoy. If the world wants to make an old pagan holiday out of it, that's their problem. But boy, you pick out you're talking about them angels singing and the birth of the king, and it'll put you on shouting ground. Now, the first thing I want to say tonight is this. Where did we come up with this right here? The date, December 25th. I'll use this dark pen. That red's a little hard to see back there, and we're using it on sheets. I ain't got a screen. If anybody runs across a screen that big, let me know. We can put it up in the ceiling and pull it down. That's what we want to get eventually when we afford it. But I just have to get by with a sheet. The date, December 25th. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to write all this out, but I'm going to tell you how the date came about of December the 25th. You listening? Here's the history. The ancient people, back many, many years before Jesus ever came to this earth, worshipped the Son. Not Jesus, the Son, the S-U-N, the Son. They worshipped it. And I don't know if I can make a sign here. But that was their God. They thought that all life and, you know, the heat and the light of the world and all that stuff came a sun, and they were right. And they worshiped the sun. That was their God. They called it the sun god. Now what happened was that the sun god gave them beautiful days, made their crops grow, gave them light so they could see, and boy, they just worshiped the sun. But something began to happen. Seemed like during a certain time of the year, the sun wasn't as warm as it was. And matter of fact, it started getting dark earlier, and they thought the sun was dying. You understand what I'm saying? You know, old pagan, ancient people, the days start getting shorter. It used to get daylight till 9:30, and now it's getting dark at 5 o'clock. And they said, what's happened to our sun god? He's dying. And so it got less and less and less and colder and colder. And they said, he don't give us as much light anymore. He don't give us as much heat anymore. What's happening to our sun? He's dying. Our God is dying. And it went that way, and the days got shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. You follow me so far? But something happened around the end of December. And they always begin to notice it, that right around the end of December, a change took place and the days started getting longer. The sun would rise earlier, it would set later. Now when them days got cold, they started saying, our God is dying. When them days started warming up again and the days got longer, they say, he has come back to life. He has resurrected. They said it's his birthday. It's the birthday of the sun. They finally settled on this date right here as the birthday of the sun. Now this is in history. It's very well, it's easy to find out. It's documented. They worshiped the sun being born on December 25th. And of course that was in the old pagan days, and they finally pinpointed that the rays got stronger, and the shortest day of the year would be around the last of December, and somehow or another they arrived at December 25th. The sun god would come start getting stronger, and you know what they done? They'd celebrate, and they'd say, the sun god's coming back. He's going to drive old mean winter away from us, so old mean winter won't kill us and freeze us. And so they begin to have festivities. And they called it the birthday of the sun. And they lit candles and bonfires. So your first thing you see connected with December 25th is they worship the sun because the days were longer. See? And when these days got longer, they lit candles and had fires. Does anybody know why they had these big bonfires? They were trying to drive winter away and make the world warmer. Now that got into Rome, and the Roman Empire had a special holiday on December 25th called the birthday of the sun. It was at the end of a week-long festival called Saturnalia. And I'll write this down for you. And this was a feast that lasted a week. And during this feast, they worshipped, or it was to honor Saturn. And nobody worked except cooks and bakers. Schools, businesses would close. Soldiers would lay down their weapons. And buildings were decorated with evergreen. And they wore costumes. And they went around carrying trees. So that came from Rome, the Roman Empire, the decorations, the costumes, and the trees. Now, let's go back. Y'all know where the scripture on the tree is, Jeremiah, 10? Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 10 just a second. We'll tell you about the Christmas tree. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah 10, most of you know it, and we're going to have to hurry because we're going to quit in just a pretty quick here so the choir can practice, and if we don't get finished, we'll go into it next week. But you ought to know this as a Christian. Jehovah's Witness come knocking at your door, you can set them straight. Anybody else, you can give them the history and tell them what's going on. Now, we're well aware of the fact that there was no such thing as a Christmas tree in Jeremiah 10. I mean, it wasn't called a Christmas tree. Christ hadn't even been born yet. But yet the principle is here, and personally, I believe God had a thought in mind when he let this be put in a book. I don't believe this is a direct reference to a Christmas tree, you know. I don't get it and preach it and say, see there, right there, the Bible said about Christmas trees, you know, this, that, because there was no such thing then. But it wouldn't surprise me a bit if the Lord didn't leave it in there. You think of all the thousands of things he could have put in the inspired word, but he left this in there. Now looky here. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 3. The customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest. Nowadays they maketh a tree out of tinsel, but anyway, back then they cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. Verse 4, they deck it with silver and with gold, and you got to have a stain. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. I ain't never heard one say nothing. They must needs be born. They're not a god. You know, you have to carry them around because they cannot go. You say, oh, Brother Danny, I think there's great evils in those things. Look here what the book said. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Amen? Neither also is it in them to do good. So whatever this was the Lord was talking about here was a tree. It had no spiritual power. It was not a god. It couldn't go anywhere by itself. Fake. It couldn't hurt you. It couldn't help you. Now, personally, that's my personal feelings about a Christmas tree. All the people ask me, say, Brother Danny, you believe in Christmas trees and all that? That's my personal opinion is it can't hurt you. It can't help you. It don't make you no more spiritual to have one. It don't make you no less spiritual not to. You understand what I'm saying? Hear amen right there? Amen. Amen. All right. A man's crazy. There's no difference in it and them flowers right there. See? If we want to cut an oak tree and bring it in here and put it in our church because we like the looks of it, we have every right in the world to do that. If we don't, we don't have to. Now, if to the place somebody thinks, boy, this tree has spiritual power, and they begin to work, make it an object of worship, say, boy, this thing's going to help me, and my home's going to be blessed, because then you're getting on the border of idol worship. But still, the problem ain't the tree, it's the person. So the trees were beginning to be carried around an empire. So if some Pharisee, and it's usually people who hadn't been saved long, and they've done learned up about the pagan connection of the Christmas festivities, comes into you and blasts you for having a Christmas tree or buying you something for Christmas, you just let it go in one ear and out the other. Amen? Now, you can go overboard the other way. You know, you can make a big deal out of it, and you got to buy this, you got to buy that, and that's just as sinful. But you understand what I'm saying tonight. I hope you do. All right? It's like this. You decide. If you want to buy some gifts, buy them. If you don't, don't. If you don't buy me one, buy it. Okay? Now, there's where the trees come from. Let me go on right here, right quickly. There's another thing in here. Where this come from, and it's from Scandinavia. And I don't like the sound of that word. Sounds too much like scandalous. But they had the Yule log. And the word Yule means jolly. 'Tis the season to be jolly. And they would light these Yule logs. And I ain't got information on them. You can go home and look it up in the encyclopedia or something. Sometimes you can go to the library and get books on the history of Christmas, but that's where the Yule log come from. One of you fellas, you may have the note, I preached on it or something. This Yule log was supposed to have some kind of, I don't know, maybe, I think what they done, they lit it. Yeah, that's it. They lit it. And they burned this log. And so somebody would appear in that fire. You catching on to it? They'd appear in fire and give them things. So where's that? What does that lead us to? Anybody know? The chimney. The fireplace. See, you put the logs on the fireplace, and Santa comes down the fireplace and appears out of the fire there and brings gifts to everybody. That came from Scandinavia, from the Yule log. Okay, you got that? And that means fire. Or it don't mean fire, but, you know, they would light it and set fire to it. And Yule means jolly. Somebody said this is the Yule season, you know. You know what you're talking about, the jolly season. Okay, all right. Now, we Christians, here's how Christmas got started. They've been doing this for years and years and years. They've been lighting candles, they've been decking trees, they've been wearing costumes, they've been burning fires, they've been saying so-and-so's going to appear and give us gifts out of the fire and all that. And then here comes Jesus to the earth. And then the whole world's changed. People starts getting saved. And on. They read in the book, after the Luke wrote his gospel, how that was a great night when the angel came down and preached. They, early Christians themselves, began to celebrate the birthday of Christ. And every year they'd say, boy, this is the day the Lord came. You know, back then in the early church, that would have been a great day when you think about it, the day that he came. That's what they all talked about. He came. Now, so they made a holiday out of it. Now, what happened here? The Christians made a holiday. But after the Christian church began, the pagan holidays remained. So you have a Christian holiday start here, called the Son's Birthday. And you have a pagan holiday here, called the Son's Birthday. Except one of them's the Son of God, one of them's the S-U-N shining up there in the sky. And guess who brought them together? Rome. The church leaders, bless their old souls, at Rome adopted December the 25th in the 4th century. There's where it come from. In the 4th century, they combined these two holidays together. Now, the Roman Catholic Church always does that. They worship in the Old Testament Baal. You know who Baal was? They worshiped the sun, and they worshiped the queen of heaven, Ashtaroth, the god. You read about in the Old Testament, Ashtaroth, and guess they just kept right on worshiping Ashtaroth, but after Christ came, they changed her name. Who they call her now? Mary. That's why they worship Mary now, is because they just carried their old pagan beliefs right in. They just mixed Christianity and paganism, and that's why the Catholic Church today has statues and prays to Mary and worships Mary, is because they got it out of the old pagan, Old Testament, out of the old. Now, my job and your job is to sort out the junk and throw it away, the statues, the somebody appearing in the fire, the supernatural power, but honor the Lord on His birthday if we want to. That's our job as a Christian. Now, let me show you something else here. They figured that the church leaders would forget their pagan customs and just call it Christ's birth. And they called it the Feast of the Nativity. And that word in Latin means, and in French means Same word. How many of you knew what Noel meant? Noel. We used to say that, Jehovah Witness would go around saying, Noel, Noel. It's Noel. Noel. And it means nativity. Can anybody tell us what nativity means? Anybody? Anybody know what nativity means? Nobody here knows what nativity means. The reason I'm asking is because I don't know. Does anybody know? Huh? Somebody puts out little statues of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and all that. What do you call that? A nativity scene. It's the baby, the manger, and all that. I don't know exactly what the word means, but it's the Latin word natalis or natilis, and the French word is Noel. I can't hear you. Birth, okay? Nativity. You have a nativity scene. That's the baby Jesus, Mary and Joseph, and all that. That's why I call it a nativity scene. Okay, but that's the same word as Noel. Now, here we come to the word, and we're going to wind it down. He said, we want to honor Christ. Now, when the Catholic Church wants to honor something, what do they do every Sunday morning? What do they have? A mass. They said, let's give a mass and honor Christ for his birth. So they began to call it Christ's Mass. And every year at this time, they'd say, we're going to have Christ's Mass, Christ's Mass, Christ's Mass. It'll soon be time for Christ Mass. This Mass, that Mass, Christ Mass. And then a little at a time, this disappeared, and that disappeared, and that disappeared, and left Christ Mass. That's where Christmas come from. And the day became known as Christ Mass, and later just Christmas. During the Dark Ages, all the old legends begin to spring back up and tie into that. And you can go around the world tonight and these people believe some weird stuff about Christmas. And more than likely, the Lord was actually born probably in April. As far as people can tell from the Word of God, what the Bible said, shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night, and all that, which in a lot of those countries they did not do in December. Remember the little movie we showed where the snow out there? And said, I thought the shepherds, he said, sheep don't eat snow. And the little boy had a point there. There's snow on the ground, they didn't eat snow. But anyway, it was probably in April, and you figure that out with the feast of April, the first month, then the feast, you know, in the September, October months. But I probably rose up some questions in your mind, so let's take about 5 minutes here for questions. Now, if you have a question, you might help you to know some of this stuff. You don't go around being a smart aleck, but it pays you to know where you're coming from. And if you're a Christian, you ought to know why you celebrate something or why you don't celebrate something, or what you believe and what you don't believe. Any questions? I thought I saw somebody. All right, what about the trees, huh? Yeah.
They said they had in there the date that Christmas, first called Christmas, 325 A.D.
Yeah.
Under Constantine.
Yeah. I had the 4th century, so that's about right along in that time. That's where it started.
Well, it seems like they kind of almost had what they had back in Genesis 10.
Very same thing.
Because Constantine declared the whole world religion to be Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah. What they done, they took the birth of Jesus and everything and just brought it right into their pagan beliefs. And now it's why it's such and such a mess.
Well, they were persecuting the Christians.
Amen. Anybody else have a question or a comment that might help somebody else? I guess it just slowly, all I got wrote down here in my notes, the book, you know, the information that I got said that the day became known as Christ Mass and then later Christmas. I don't know how much later. I guess little by little, instead of saying Christmas, 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 they just started saying Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. I don't know if that started in America. It probably didn't. Probably started in England or somewhere before America was ever discovered. Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right. Little by little, they're just, and that's why old Madeline Mary and them, they're trying to get Christmas carols off of the radio. Can you believe that? Because it's offending, you know, the atheists and stuff. And off out of the, they're making them take down nativity scenes on courthouse lawns, crosses out in the city limits, make them take down anything that has to do with Jesus. The world hates him without a cause, what the Bible says. And I'll tell you something. Down in Florida, there's these girls giving out Christmas cards, teenage girls, I don't know, 12, 13 years old, and the teacher made them stop giving them out. And they sued them. They sued the school, and the court gave the victory to the girls and said they was violating their constitutional rights by not letting them pass out Christmas cards and award them a bunch of money. About $1 million, something like it, in a settlement, really, and stood up for the students. So all you kids, you know. Remember where you got the idea, though. Yeah, Christ Mass. I'm sorry it looks so messy. I didn't know it looked that bad when I looked up there. My black pen ain't writing too good. Anybody else have any questions? Yeah. Yeah. Well, it might do it in some languages and stuff, but to the average American, it looks like you're just crossing him out. You know, that's the way I look at it. That's right. Yeah, that's true. Everywhere it's like that, it's always her. She's, you know, she's the main character. Remember what the Lord, the angel told Mary? He didn't say, "Blessed art thou above women." He said, "Blessed art thou among women." He didn't tell her she's any better than anybody else. Just among women, she was blessed to bear the Son of God. Anybody else? Mary is not God's mother. Don't ever forget that. Anybody else? Said what now? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're trying to take all the references God as a man out of the Bible and make them say she. You know, in the beginning, she created, you know, make God a woman. And once somebody won an Academy Award, who was that? And come out on a stage, some great movie star, and said, "I thank God for this because she made it possible." You know. that's a jealous woman that thinks up stuff like that. She's jealous of men. Don't ask me why. Preaching heresy. Now we'll talk about old Ho-Ho next week, and I'll show you in the Bible where he come, you know, Ho-Ho from the north. Remember that scripture? It's in there. You wait and see.
But Daddy,
No. Sure ain't. Did he?
Yeah.
That woman?
He said, blessing the other women shall jail the wife of her.
Because she nailed that guy to the floor, didn't
she? That's what it wrote.
Yeah, she nailed him, son. I always liked that story. She brought him in there to her house, and he's a big enemy, you know, and just go down here and go to sleep, and put a nail through his temples and nailed him to the floor. And they praised her for it, boy. Made a big song or a poem or something about it, like Frankie and Honey. Huh? Anybody else? All right, let me close by saying this. The thing you need to remember about Christmas, same as Easter, is balance. Don't get off into the commercial thing of Christmas. Well, I think it's wrong, I know it's wrong, to tell your kids there's a sky flies through the sky and bring them, you know, that's a lie. That's not true. So that's a sin. But then also, if you want to honor the Lord's birthday, you have every bit of right and freedom from the Word of God to do that. You know, as long as you do it in the right way. And I tell you, that's the best way to do it. That's my personal opinion. That's the way I try to lead this church, is that on things like this, you have balance. Now, we don't, that's why we don't have Santa Claus running down the aisle in here, you know, and all this stuff and everything. To me, that just don't, you know, I think that's a little too far with it. But as far as honoring the Lord's birthday, buying somebody a gift in honor of Him, buying your family something, I think it's great as long as your heart's on the Lord and you're doing in the right direction, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time of year. Lord, we know there's a lot of blasphemy. Lord, we know there's a lot of wickedness. Lord, there's a lot of drunkenness and all of that. But, oh God, at this time of year, we think more of Your birth, I guess, than any other time. We shouldn't. And I ask You, God, to help us to want to think about You coming in the world in June and July and August just as much as we would now. Lord, I thank You that You did send Your Son. I pray, God, that You'd help us as Christians to walk straight in a crooked world, as Brother Dale preached to us. And God, I pray, Lord, that we'd keep our eyes on Jesus and let the book be our guide and final authority in all matters of faith and practice. We love You, and we pray You bless our church family. And God, help us to take advantage of this Christmas season and use it for Your glory. Use it to witness. Lord, we know there's a lot of things out there that's anti-Christian. But God, that shouldn't stop us from taking what is good and using it for the glory of God. And Lord, I pray, God, that You'd help us as we sing these songs and give somebody a gift or something. Maybe do it as a Christian testimony for Thy glory. And we love You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. We want everybody.